cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Tuesday, it's toasty this morning, huh? Everybody was so worried about like that cold weekend that my buddy predicted, and then it came and went. It's gone. It wasn't even a weekend, it was somewhere in the middle of last week. It was chilly the one morning, but it seems we've managed to escape that stuff. So we're back in the proper summer. The way it should be, right?
That's the happening.
Way. That's the way we want it. All right, good morning, and I hope your Tuesday morning is off to a good start. It's the 21st of November. Ooh. So we're well into all that preparation around Christmas. Aren't the Americans doing Thanksgiving weekend? I think it's either this weekend or it was last weekend.
Next weekend?
I never know when that
is. This week?
Well, it's currently known in today's culture, Gareth, as Black Friday weekend.
Yeah, this Friday is Black Friday. That much
yes.
I know.
Yeah, so that's the Thanksgiving.
So, yeah, isn't Black Friday after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Who was telling me yesterday that they've got some kind of Black Friday special?
Everyone.
Everyone is, right? Mm. Are you guys at all caught up in this stuff? Amanda looks like she's dead keen. Come in here because I don't even want to try that microphone of yours. Sit down here, Amanda.
See, everyone's got like a Black Friday theory. It's like, I want that, but it's like, I'll wait till Black Friday. People mustn't forget that Black Friday is when they get rid of all of their old
crap.
Shit.
Yeah, the stuff that no one's bought.
If you want something, it's like, I want the new iPhone X. I'm going to wait till Black Friday.
No,
it's not going to happen.
No.
That's like saying, I really want that house in Clifton. I'll wait till Black Friday.
Well, like, that you should just give
it's
up.
It's only the crap that's
are you,
out there.
Are you excited about Black Friday, Amanda?
I am excited because I enjoy shopping. So, But I think Black Friday is good for like house stuff.
What do you mean?
As in
like coffee machines
stuff
and all of that stuff.
Because
okay.
then it's
yeah.
like
see, smart.
But then there's
detergents.
Also these tattoo places that have really good deals.
Are you getting like a heap of tattoos? What's your story?
I have one, but yeah,
where's
I do
your
want
one?
Get
where's
a
your one tattoo
on my wrist?
Okay, what is that?
So it says my mom, her name, and then like. My mom, who passed away, his name.
Right.
So both of the moms.
So your mom and your biological mom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's kind of sweet. What's your next plan?
I want to get something stupid. I believe,
that's always a great idea
because it's there forever.
Yes.
And it reminds you of when you were young. So I want to do something like
Why
that.
Why not? Sure.
I have never in my life heard someone who actually willingly and consciously wants to get something stupid.
Everyone called me Amanda Panda when I was little, so I want to get like a little panda.
That's cool. Lord. I like that though. That's kind of cute. Yeah. Plus, it could be very.
Oh no. Mm-mm.
See it. You don't have any tattoos.
You do.
He does.
Yeah, where are your tattoos?
Everywhere.
How many you got?
Three now.
What are they?
My finger, my wrist, and my ribs. Amanda, don't do it. You think it's cute now?
Ben,
and
you still got zero.
No, I've got an awkward birthmark, and I think that's just enough.
Right.
You've got to ask where the birthmark is.
Yeah, now. Where is it?
It's just on my stomach. It's not great.
You're going to have it colored in?
I have thought about it. I have thought about it in the past, but I don't know.
It could, if you don't like the look of it, then the best way to cover it up is to turn it into something.
Yeah, I always thought it was a map of North America. Now it's just like a drop pizza.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah. You got to do something with that.
Well, it's not horribly unsightly. I mean, I'm not conscious of it. I just remembered I had this thing.
Ugh.
Do you have any affiliation to North America?
I want to go there at some stage. I like the golf courses.
Okay, so. Sure.
So why don't you get a golf ball on the birthmark?
Why don't you get the Masters emblem? That's sort of
that's
like North
smart.
America. That's sort of like the US.
That's totally smart.
Isn't it the shape of the US with
it
a little
is,
flag
with
in
the
it?
Flag in Augusta.
What is going on this morning?
Friday.
Yeah, God,
do
that's
that.
Smart.
There we go, Ben. See? Problem solvers. Huh. I solve everyone's problems. Wait till I get to the email. You won't believe some of these problems.
Wow,
Mubs, you don't have any tattoos.
No, I just got a belly ring in varsity, and now I regret it because unless you have washboard abs, it doesn't do anything.
Badass.
Doesn't do anything.
You were such a badass, huh?
Did you have like
I was an idiot.
A bedazzled, jeweled belly ring.
The hanging one, you know.
No.
That was very in once. Mm. That belly ring stuff.
Yeah, 100 years ago it was.
But like tattoos are very in now. I know very few people who don't have a tattoo somewhere, right? Mm. Especially people in their 20s and 30s. Everybody's got at least one. And usually when you start on one, it doesn't take long for you to get the next one and the next one and the next one.
Yes.
I mean, you've seen... have you seen what Bieber looks like now? He's so covered in tattoos, this kid.
So covered in guilt and regret. And
well, I don't know. I mean,
you're going to hate yourself. He's going to wake up one morning hungover after a pretty average night. He's going to go, oh, what a mess. Look at
you know,
me.
You reach a point where you go from looking cool to looking like a prisoner.
Like trailer trash.
Well, exactly. Yeah, prisoner, trailer trash. Yeah.
I don't understand how people say it's addictive because it's the worst pain I've ever been through.
Really? Yeah, you did have it done on the wrist, which is apparently very, very
and
sore.
And my sister got it for me, so if I was paying for it, I would have been like, stop, no.
You're not going to do
stop.
This.
Stop, but then she
what
was
did,
like, Amanda,
what did that
through.
Cost you to do?
I think it was like 1-2.
Okay, so then for Black Friday, what sort of price are we looking at for the Amanda Panda?
I think it was like 500.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, let us know if you're going to go through with it. I mean, where would you even start in Black Friday? Which shop would you go to first?
Macro,
right.
Yes.
Buy in bulk.
Yeah.
Right, I got you. So you buy a pallet of dishwashing liquid.
And then Dion Wired, maybe, you know.
You joke, but people
imagine,
will.
Mubs, imagine you go to Christmas with the family. You're like, okay, everybody. I got you all the same thing because it was a Black Friday sale at Macro, and
that's
they all
exactly
opened up, and everybody gets a dishwashing liquid.
Mm-hmm. My mom bought everyone this like air fryer thing.
A what?
It's like an air fryer, so you don't use oil and stuff. Apparently, it's really healthy, whatever.
Yeah.
And she bought one for everyone in the family: mom, dad, aunts, uncles, grand.
Sounds like a gift that keeps on giving.
Like
an air fryer.
Black Friday sale.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's smart. Listen, I've already told my family, just, you know, forget about expensive gifts. It's not going to happen.
For Christmas, you mean?
Oh, please. There's no way. Like this, we have all got to just take it easy on the spending for Christmas.
Yep.
Given the state of all of us, we actually should. But that doesn't stop anyone. Like, you can't help but not fall in love with this time of year.
Sure. But fall in love with drinking. Fall in love with being nice to each other. Not fall in love with, okay, well, I hate the bitch, but she'll get that and they'll shut up for a year.
Yeah.
Like, because that is let's be honest. You see a lot of that shopping going around. That's why there's so much, like, rage in shopping malls.
Yeah, because people are not excited to buy things for each other. They're actually pissed off about it.
Yeah, it's like this grudge thing. Like, oh, I've got to spend this much because if I'm spending less, then she'll spend more and then I hate her.
Oh. But it's the most wonderful time of the year,
it
Benjamin.
It is, yeah. And as I said, focus on that. But don't focus on this gifting thing.
All right. Do you want to go to some emails?
Yeah. Alrighty.
Got a bit of time this morning. So first one comes from Madri. She is. She's got a question. I've been wanting to email you for a while now. Thanks for the awesome show. I'm always listening. I am talking about myself, but I'm sure there are many more like me. I'm currently teaching in Korea. I came here in 2013 and planned on only staying for 1 year. But life is quite easy, safe, and money is good. For the last 2 years, I've been saving up so that I can have enough money to return to South Africa. I know I won't be able to get a job straight away. Therefore, I've been saving money so that I could take my time to look for the right job. However, things in South Africa are not getting very much better according to the news. My heart tells me to come back home, but my head tells me it's the stupidest decision I could possibly make. What do you have to say about us working in other countries but wanting to come back to SA? I know you're a straight shooter. Speak your mind. I'm ready to listen and to hear what you have to say. I have a feeling that it might not be good, but I really want to know. Sincerely, Marjorie. All right. Anyone else want to hop in before I go with this one?
Marjorie, it's nobody's business where you choose to work or live.
There we go.
Oh,
yeah.
That was straightforward.
Yes, I mean, you know, in the end, and I've thought about this a little bit because I got the email a couple of days ago. Mubs is right. It's nobody's business. You do whatever you want to do. And if you read in the news that it's not looking very good and you're earning decent money in Korea, of course you're going to miss home. I mean, I spoke to a friend of mine in Canada 2 nights ago, and one of our other friends is having a birthday on Saturday, so we're going to Skype him in to make a little speech and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It'll feel like we're all together again, and, you know, he's not actually there, but it'll be nice. And I know he and his wife are having the best time in Canada. They really are. They're living it up. They live in Vancouver, which is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. He walks to work.
He walks to work.
Shame. Can't afford a car.
Well, no, it's like a 10-minute walk. He said he doesn't even need to study at home because if he needs to work, he just goes to the office. It's right there. And they go to interesting places. They see lots of concerts. They travel a bit because they've got extra money now because they're earning decent cash. You know, and so many South Africans are just stuck because our currency is not particularly valuable at the moment. We're worried about political instability. We don't know what's going to happen in December with the ANC. Mm-hmm. As Anthea told us yesterday in the Money Shot, there's this downgrade looming, the junk status that's coming. That's not a great place to be. And that's where my head is telling me, do what you're doing in Korea and come back and visit. Use that money that you're saving up to have a really nice 5-star holiday in South Africa. If you want to, you know, spend an extra 2 weeks and be with your family or whatever. Then, the other part of me, which is eternally optimistic, says, it doesn't matter. If you're living in South Africa and you're earning rands, you're spending rands. And of course, all of this world economy and, you know, the way that South Africa is currently constituted and how it's being run really badly and being run into the ground by this government, that's a problem. Mm. But Ireland was junk status not so long ago. It's now the 5th richest country in the world. You heard on Anthea's list yesterday. Mm. They were junk just 10 years ago. So we can get out of this hole. And there are opportunities here. Lots of opportunities for people who are prepared to work hard. And it's not going to be easy. But there's stuff going on. And it's exciting being in South Africa right now. You're a part of history. I don't know that there's that much, unless North Korea decide to behave badly, I don't know that there's that much going on in South Korea that you're going to have as exciting a time. And, you know, they say that the worst curse you can give to someone or the greatest blessing you can give to them is to say, may you live in interesting times. That's what we got here. Hmm. So I'm not helping you. I know that, Madri. I'm meant to give you a straightforward answer, right? Come or stay. But I honestly can't give you that straightforward an answer. I think I would be doing you a disservice.
I think that the best sort of common ground here is that you save up, you give Korea a great chance, you've already done,
yeah.
But look into this holiday and come back and have a look at it. And you look at it from a different perspective as well when you come back to visit. If you come back and you're like, hey, cool, I'm settling.
But I think for her, it's getting over, maybe it's the guilt or whatever, or where her heart lies. Because it's this thing of you go onto Facebook and you see, oh, your childhood friend is now getting married and you can't be there helping her plan the wedding.
Weren't lost.
That's the thing. It's the heart.
Sure.
I think that's where her conflict comes in.
Yeah, and it always comes down to people. Like, if you need people in your life and you really miss them, then you're constantly going to be yearning to come home. No matter how great anywhere is, you'll sit there and you go, wow, this is so great, but who's that guy? Or why is that guy still staring at me? Because overseas men are really creepy.
Oh.
Obviously.
Especially. Oh. So I think if you really rely on people, you're missing people, that's never going to go away. You're not suddenly going to go, oh, well, it's been 10 years, I don't care anymore. You'll always have that.
Mm. All right, so Madri, I hope we helped you with that. Just do whatever you want. Do whatever your heart tells you, because usually your intuition doesn't go wrong. If you're missing people, if you desperately need to be back here, come and make it work. You'll find something you like. You'll find something you can do. Make yourself useful. Only then will you make money anyway. Nobody who's doing a job and just doing it for the money will ever be happy. Neither will they ever earn good money. If you don't love what you do, stop. And if that includes like a good salary in Korea, and, you know, the bank balance is looking healthy, but your life is miserable. Mm. You go home every night and it's just you. Then get out of there.
Not worth it.
If you do what you're really good at and what you love, you will make money. That's the truth. All right, Carla says, au contraire, Ben, Dion Wired have a Black Friday special on iPhone X.
Wow, okay, well, I'll take that back. I'll take that back, thank you.
Exactly. Very
what, is it only 23,000, not 23,000 and a
half? Yeah, how big is this saving, if we have to be honest? Let's
get to size quickly. How big, Carla?
How big? It's all about it.
He doesn't include that, I'm afraid. I don't have any info on that one. And then this comes from Ankia. I'm taking advantage of a Black Friday tattoo special and having an ugly smallpox vaccine scar covered on Sunday. I'm very excited. Nice. See, there we go. Ben's going to get his master's tattoo done. And Gareth, I can't help but compare us with Zim. We're on the same path as Zim. Well, I've heard that story for the last 20 years too, and that hasn't happened. And remember, we have a couple of things in our little arsenal that don't happen for Zim. I've got to say, I've heard some very interesting utterings and mutterings from within my sources in the ANC in the last couple of weeks. Ooh. About what's going on there.
Do tell.
I don't know. Should I save it for when Justice comes in, or do you want to know?
Well, you can give us a little tease.
Justice already knows everything, Gareth.
Something.
I don't know. Last couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks, I've been helping Justice out with some info.
But you know, he does it to make you feel better, though.
All right, so here's some info that you don't know.
Oh, wait. Is this a text?
I'm going through this Black Friday deal. It
looks great.
Jeepers, this. Now, all of a sudden, I'm hooked.
Yeah. What is this on, Ben? What are you looking at?
Wow, you can get a DJI Spark for $7,000.
What?
That's outrageous.
Okay. Where is this, Ben?
It's Dion Wyatt.
Wow, look at this.
Look at Amanda staring at my
free
computer.
Free advertising. Don't tell me our listeners don't know what the hell's going on.
Okay,
Dion Wyatt, I hope you're listening, because this is the kind of value that most advertisers would wish to have.
Yeah, but
it's called organic. It's called endorsement.
Mm.
You can get a Galaxy. Wow, this is incredible. But okay, I'm not seeing any iPhone X here.
All right, Ben.
You can win one, but there's no Black Friday deal.
Can we focus on Cyril Ramaphosa for a second?
Oh!
So here's the story.
Let's go from a deal to a steal.
Okay, sorry. I just need some context. I'm getting excited here.
So there are a lot of people who are talking inside the ANC, branch level voting, what's going on there. Branches are nominating their candidate, you know, for the presidency.
And they're talking to you.
Well, no. I'm just picking up on this from a number of my sources. Yeah, I've got a couple of those.
Who are these sources? How far up?
Cyril is in front. But even if he enters the conference with a 10 percentage point lead, it'll only take 500 or so rigged votes to swing it to NDZ. That's Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Seems clear, 60-plus percentage of ANC branches want Cyril.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, unless there's vote rigging, it's looking very likely at this point that Cyril Ramaphosa is in the lead.
So it's in the balance then.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So no hope for Zweli Mkhize?
No. Hmm. No, unless Nkosazana drops out, because that's where he would pick up his support. And I heard another little bit of info. I heard that Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma this weekend had to be talked out of dropping out of the race herself. That she is not having fun. She feels like she's being manipulated.
So she wants to drop out.
Yeah,
but people around her don't want
her
to.
Well, you know, they need her. Otherwise, they go to jail. So she's being used, and she doesn't like that being used. She's an independent woman. She's fought long and hard on her own, in her own career. And you can listen to that interview we had with Karine Duplessis not so long ago. This is not a woman who likes to be pushed around. And all that's happening at the moment is she's being pushed around. Everybody around her is being chosen for her by the current incumbents. And she's not having a fun time. And she said to somebody over the weekend, push me any further and I'm out. So who knows what might happen here.
This is going to be a fascinating couple of weeks.
It will be, and this will change. I mean, that's why I'm almost reticent to say it, because then people will go out and start believing, oh, well, this is a sure thing for Cyril, and it isn't. There's a lot that can happen here. And there's skullduggery, and there's the possibility the conference won't take place, and a lot of other stuff.
I mean, I know this is speculation, what you just said, but I mean, how flaky are you as a so-called leader if you're looking to throw in the towel because people around you are trying to push you to do something? Well, should that not inspire you to be a better leader and then root out such crap?
Well, she needs them. They need her, and she needs them at this point. They can't do it on their own.
How does she need them?
She needs them because they won't supply the votes from the provinces like Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal unless she does what they need her to do.
Yeah.
So it's a quid pro quo. But you can understand, for her, she suddenly feels again like she's a dish towel. She's being used and abused, and she's being pushed around, and she doesn't... I mean, who would want that? Who wants to be treated like that?
Mm. She should... exit just before the conference starts for dramatic effect.
That would fuck them right in the skull.
All of them.
Can you imagine? I mean, if she was really malicious, that would be a hell of a move.
Oh, that's how I'd do it.
Yeah.
Then what's her future after
Get her ex-husband back after all these years. What's her future? Duh, please. She doesn't have to worry.
She'll go back.
She could go to the UN. She's lots she could do. No, I don't think they want her back at the AU.
Oh.
They definitely don't want her back at the AU.
But why, Gareth? She was such a success.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, sorry.
Nobody in
I've
the
really
AU.
Got to stop following the women's Nobody. ANC Women's League on Twitter. Yeah.
Where's Phumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka?
She's still at the UN.
Mm.
Yeah. She's on one or other big committee. It could be UNESCO, one of them. But she's still there. All right. Then we do have this from Ankia, who says her kid was just listening to the show, and they heard someone on the show swearing, and she went all wide-eyed and said to her kid, swearing on the radio, and the kid just shrugged his shoulders and said, it's not the radio, it's Cliff Central, Mom.
Oh, hey now.
That's the generation I care about. All right, let's get stuck into some news, shall we? Are you ready for a little bit of news?
Yes.
It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They've got something for everybody. Everyone. Whether you're a meat lover, a vegetarian. No, well, that's me. That's what I think of vegetarians. Or simply someone with a taste for the sweeter things in life. We guarantee that we have the dish that will satisfy your craving. Yes. All right, so let's get into some news. There are lots of stories bouncing around, and we've already hinted at one or two of them. I don't know if you saw this one. This is a headline in Newsweek this week. Men with muscles and money are more attractive to straight women and gay men, showing gender roles aren't progressing.
No, that's progress. Why do you want to be attracted to a man who's not healthy
exactly.
or who's not wealthy?
But thanks
muscles and money. Those are two things that every...
You guys are not reading the subtext here. Newsweek is kind of upset that people aren't more open-minded about gender roles, that they don't find thin and weak men with no money attractive.
Oh, please.
Why must everything be debated? Why can't people just accept that something are the way they are?
I mean, do we need to take it back to evolution and biology and about how the fact that strong, fit, healthy men... will provide for you, like that whole argument. This is how we are wired.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's like saying Newsweek, oh, restaurant goers are still going to great restaurants. How dare these people?
Well, you see, a lot of people think these things are social constructs and that they're not evolutionary biology. So there we go. Defense Force Union is going to lay criminal charges against Colonel Brian Molefe.
Yes, Colonel.
I don't know if you heard about this.
I couldn't even be a colonel in the A-team.
They would file criminal charges against former Eskom boss Brian Molefe following his appointment as an honorary colonel of the South African Defence Force. The South African National Defence Union will file these charges this coming week against Molefe and further demand that his call-up be withdrawn immediately, failing which they will take legal action. So someone has put a bit of a spanner in the works for him.
You know what Brian Molefe's entire life is, basically? It's the word former. Whenever it's like, oh, who's that? Oh, it's Brian Malefe, former, and then added in whatever he's ruined.
Right.
What a horrible
I'm very
legacy.
Sad, and I think Sia will be sad about this too. Della Reese from Touched by an Angel died at 86 years old. Do you remember Della Reese?
No.
Yes, we were talking about her not too long ago.
Yes, man. Come on, Ben. She was in Touched by an Angel. She's that older, very sort of gracious and exuberant-looking woman. Who was in Touched by an Angel. You don't remember her?
Anyone touched in Hollywood right now is a controversial story. So angels, whatever, I'm not part of this.
Well, it's no, she's...
She was the lead angel, wasn't she?
She was the lead angel.
She was the boss.
See us come back. Quick change of subject.
I feel like she was always old, though. Always had gray hair.
Yeah, she was always old.
Yeah.
She was 86 years old. And this is just a little bit of a retrospective for you, just so that you know. Della Reese.
Oh,
she was one hell of a singer, I must tell you. She had an incredible voice.
Do you think she sang the theme song?
She did.
Oh!
You didn't know that?
No!
She had some voice. You want to hear her singing?
Of course. Right. And I vote for everyone in the
Do you remember the show,
Sia? Do I remember the show? Was I not sitting on a Friday night at home with no social life and the angels helped me out?
Well, people loved that show. And
I know the show? Does Dolly Parton sleep on her
back? She rose to fame as a jazz singer and later found television stardom on Touched by an Angel. And her husband remains. Franklin Lett. That's the voice.
Down the road.
What a voice, huh?
Heavy burden. Heavy burden. I will rise and I will walk with you. I'll walk with you.
Wow, there we go. Well, she's walking with the angels now, Della Reese. Oh, there we go.
Every time I tell you I'll walk with you.
All right, baby.
Man.
In other news, locally and politically, President Jacob Zuma tried to bully former National Director of Public Prosecutions Xolisi Asana out of office by using an inquiry into his fitness. The North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria heard on Monday. He tried to bribe him, seduce him with public money, Wim Trengrove said, representing freedom under law, before a full bench. Apparently they are seeking to have Asana and his removal declared invalid so that he can take up his job as National Director of Public Prosecutions again. He accepted a golden handshake from Zuma worth $17.3 million.
Ka-ching.
God, can't I be friends with this guy and just get a golden handshake of $17.3 million? You know, that's a lot of money that just is, to go away.
Yeah, that he is... must,
this president was really keen to get rid of this dude, huh?
Yeah, but also that kind of money would tempt a lot of people, hey? Would tempt a lot of people.
Oh, yes. And Russia has reported radioactivity 986 times the norm after a nuclear accident claim. You know, Russia is the one place you really don't want to be when it comes to nuclear, and we're trying to do our deal with Russia. I'll tell you what I mean. Moscow has just released a report that says extremely high levels of ruthenium-106 were discovered as Greenpeace urged an inquiry into a possible cover-up. Russia's meteorological services confirmed extremely high concentrations of the radioactive isotope ruthenium-106 were found in several parts of the country in late September, confirming European reports about the contamination this month. They have found the highest concentration in Argayash, a village in the Chelyabinsk region of the southern Urals. Chelyabinsk region in the southern Urals.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a lake there, Mubs. You remember I told you about Lake Karachay once?
Konja, what creatures live there again?
No creatures, because they've concreted the entire lake in. They poured so much cement powder into it that it is now just a giant lake of concrete. You can look at it on Google Earth. Lake Karachay.
I don't even know how to begin spelling
it. It is so radioactive. There is nothing alive in it, and they poured all the cement powder they could find in Russia into this lake, and now it is just a big, solid, concrete lake. A lake of concrete. Obviously, around the lake, trees grow and animals run around, because animals have a short lifespan, so they don't get cancer from radiation like humans do. We live long enough that we ultimately have problems with our mutated genes.
Jeez.
But antelope are frolicking happily along the side of this lake. The one thing you don't want to do is drink.
Ooh, really?
That's why they closed it in with concrete. But there we are. These are the people we're going to trust with our Russian nuclear build. Great idea. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things you need to know this morning. Let's turn our attention now to Ben and find out what's going on in the sport. And the sport is brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Menlyn. I was there yesterday. I went to pop in and see what they're up to. Brand new showroom. They've actually been in there for a year, but it looks brand spanking new. And if you're single for the summer, but you didn't quite manage to get that beach body in the winter, well, there's nothing more attractive than a new car, especially when you only have to start paying for it in March next year. Did you hear that? That's the truth. I'm not making it up. You get a payment holiday. Menlyn Land Rover offering you a brand new Range Rover Sport today, and you only have to start paying for it from the 1st of March 2018. So those tough months, December, January, February, those are the ones they give you a break for. Isn't that good?
Oh, yes.
That's amazing.
For more of this attractive offer, you can head on over to menlyn.landrover.co.za. That's menlyn.landrover.co.za. Or you can give them a call on Pretoria. It's 012-369-2400. That's 012-369-2400, 012-369-2400, and arrange yourself a test drive, especially if you've never been in one of these cars before. Trust me, you get in, you won't want to get out. Better yet, head on down to the new improved Land Rover Menlyn, located at 221 Gasfontein Road, just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. You can't miss it. Beautiful showroom, and they've got all your heart's desires. They've got F-type Jags. Mm. They've got Range Rover Sports. They've got Discoveries. They've got that new Velar, which I drove for 2 days. Holy hell, I've had dreams about that car since I got out of it.
It's slid my mind too.
Mm. So, that's what you need to know. Ben, over to you in the sports.
Well, we're getting to the business end of the year, and there's a lot of business still to be had in sport. Let's start with rugby, and the Springboks will take on Italy this weekend. Sia, how confident are you the Boks are going to win this weekend?
Well, Italy has never really been the strongest of competitors for our Boks, especially with Alistair Kitsia at the helm, Ben. Okay. So well, I'm very confident.
That sounds like super sport, actually.
Well,
Italy, just answered that.
Italy beat the Springboks last year with Alistair Kitsia at the helm, but thanks for your interest.
I don't know.
Or at least effort. Yeah,
oh, you went good. There, Ben. Yeah. You asked for this.
He tried. I mean,
that's my opinion.
He
and
tried.
If you're going to try to speak like that, always inflict downwards when you finish a sentence. Against the Boks this year.
Against the Boks this year.
There we go. See, now you've still got a chance in mainstream
media.
Both
for
yeah.
super sport.
So Alistair Kitsia is in a bit of a pickle. That's just because he is a pickle, really. So he
Pickle
knows,
Rick.
He knows, lose to Italy, get fired instantly, probably have your privates chopped off and fruited in a public square somewhere.
Oh.
So he's going to pick the best possible team in his mind to eke out a morale-building 5-point win over the Italy. Okay, so that's going to help nobody. But he'll say, yeah, but we didn't lose.
Ugh.
Now, that, as I say, it helps nobody. It's because he still has a squad of players. And again, we've got to touch on this again. Transformation is a reality. A squad of players that are mostly on the sidelines, of which are black. So Alistair Kitsia is not fulfilling any sort of transformation role here. And he will pick whoever he thinks is the best team, which has been his team the whole year. So he'll
Isn't
give a chance
pressure
to nobody.
On him? Isn't there pressure on him to do this, though?
Yes.
But Gareth, so how come he's not moving on
but
it?
But Gareth, this is the most frustrating thing about this, is that people believe that, oh, this team's going to crap because of transformation. No, 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 no. There's talent out there that needs to be given a chance. It just so happens the talent's also black.
So then why is this guy such a...
Exactly.
Why is he a damn wall?
There's so many easy wins out there where you can, hey, pick the best team, and hey, also, maybe actually address transformation at the same time. So... problem is, it's just he's got into this rut, and what happens is that when you get into a rut, you close camp basically. You get this LARPer mentality, and then you're just screwed. And that is where Alistair Kitsia finds himself. So, Malcolm Marx, the MRI scan thankfully showed that the bump on his shoulder is not too hectic. But we're playing Italy. Can we give the guy a break? He's the best hooker in the world. Alistair will play him into the ground because he's so scared. He's so scared of losing that he'll have to play this guy. Forever and ever. This guy could have one leg and Alistair Kitsia will try to play him. Whereas you've got Bongio Manabi on the bench, you've got Chili Boy Relepele behind him, you've got two black hookers there. Can these guys just get a game? It's Italy. If we can't beat these guys, seriously, we can't beat these guys. What's going on? Then you've got Lacunha Am in the back line, Kerwin Bosch, Warwick Gallant. These oaks aren't going to get a game either because Alistair has to have the best possible team. He's not taking Italy lightly. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Ibn Etzebeth, basically, his ankle is strapped together with magic at the best of times. He's got a leg injury. A scan showed it's nothing more than soft tissue, but maybe he also needs a bit of a break. How about that? Maybe give him a break. We've got other players too. Give him a chance. We need to test the depth this week. But again, like I said yesterday, I wrote an article about this. Even if Alistair Kitsia will somehow magically grow some balls and pick some of his fringe players, what are these guys coming into? They're coming into a setup that is so difficult to play in right now. You see all these Boks that go to the overseas clubs. They're absolutely flourished. They're man of the match out of nowhere. They have the best rugby of their life. Get into the Bok camp and they're stifled. It's like working for the ANC. You just sit there and nothing good comes out of it because you're just part of it. You're just making up the numbers.
Right.
So you can have great players coming into this current Bok setup. Under Alistair Kitsia, unfortunately, they're not going to shine. And that is the horrible, horrible reality of where we are with this team. That's all I can tell you about the Boks right now. The team will be announced on Thursday, and it will not have many changes because Alistair Kitsia has to win. Otherwise, like I said, gets fired, probably mutilation of the genitals, and public humiliation on his return.
Oh.
So you can kind of see it from both sides.
Okay, I don't have a problem. Sides.
Cricket news, the Ashes starts. Well, it's this week. Finally, we're getting to it. And the Aussies being Aussies, well, they're a bunch of dicks, really. They said, through Nathan Lyon, they are looking to end English careers again. So the last time the Ashes took place in Australia, I mean, those batsmen were shaking like shitting dogs. Mitchell Johnson was at his fiery best. Jonathan Trott went into manic depressant state. He had to go home. Joe Root got dropped because he couldn't play the fast balls. it was just such a mess, and they lost 5-0. So yeah, that is a whitewash, as they say. And well, they also want to do exactly the same. They basically want to break the spirit. They want to make them so intimidated they don't even want to play cricket, which is what they do in life, play cricket. But David Warner, he's got a neck injury, so there's a doubt that he'll be playing. But the Aussies are still very confident, and so they should be. Ben Stokes, well, no one knows if he's going to join the tour at some stage. That's still up in the air. So that'll take place from this week. More news closer to the time. But speaking of Aussies, Michael Checker, well, he's in trouble.
He's the coach.
We all love Michael Checker because he's just a bloke's bloke, really. Now, Australians, we've always gone on about this. Culturally, they have a very different language. It involves many swear words, and I don't think they should ever be slighted for this. So Michael Checker, who wears his heart on his forehead, basically, he got into a bit of an altercation with whoever was listening. So the Aussies played England at Twickenham, and they got took a bit of a hammering score-wise. But they were in it for a lot, huge chunks of the game. They had two tries disallowed, and England got a bit of a dodgy try. So with the camera on, Michael Checker basically mouthed, "Fucking cheat," towards the officials. So this is what he mouthed. But he's Australian. He doesn't understand. He doesn't remember when he swears. He swears all the time. So yeah. English press, being what they are, they love baiting him. They love baiting anybody. So this is the aftermatch interview where Michael Checker was...
Just through guts and determination, we got ourselves into the game against a lot of adversity. And then we had opportunities to score points. There weren't a heap of them, but we needed to take them.
It starts off quite subtle like this.
So we just made a few too many mistakes when those moments occurred.
Am I right to assume that the press now start to give him shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the no tries?
No tries, I suppose.
Now he's being diplomatic.
Ball bounced. It must be an English ball, the way it bounced on that line.
Look, everyone's got eyes.
She's baiting him softly.
It will be replayed time and time again. You may be aware of it, but there was one reaction to the yellow card in which it appeared you swore and were accusing someone of being a cheat. Is it heat of the moment? Do you apologise?
No, I never said. What are you talking about?
But it's best to ask. It's best to ask you, Michael.
Is that really what we're going? No, is that really what we're coming? Is that what it's coming down to?
It's going
to
be replayed on TV. It's best that you
play whatever they like. If that's what it's come down to, that's it, right? I'm trying to have an interview without getting stuck into that, and you want to try to keep making it? No, you are. So don't say you're not. Have the respect for me to say I am doing that at least, and I'm trying to fight it off. Right, at no stage, you know, maybe I could have said something, but if that's the new thing, well, yeah, maybe I did swear. I don't know, right? It happens sometimes in life. I'm sure you have as well, have you? Maybe the TV camera wasn't on you at the time.
And then he walks out. Off. He just sure. drops mic, walks out. Yeah. So the English press are obviously well known for doing this, and they know how to bait people. And he's like, look, if you want to bait me, tell me you're trying to bait me here.
Yeah.
So good on you, Michael Checker. You're as rough as a badger's ass, but we love you for that. And of course he's going to swear. This guy's job's on the line as well. Unlike, you know, Alistair Gutierrez and sheltered employment, if this guy goes through a run of bad results, he'll probably get fired. That'll be it.
Well, someone says here, question for Ben, how long can Alistair Gutierrez continue to suck before he does lose his job?
Well, look, again, it's very difficult to say, but it looks like this could be his last tour. The problem is, sorry, because they're stupid, they had a stupid contract where... I mean, they basically thought this guy was going to be it. He was going to dress transformation. They're going to be, the results were going to be all right, and he would take us to the next World Cup, and gave him a 4-year deal. And they haven't got money to buy him out of the deals like in the past.
That's so stupid.
Because in the past, sorry, we were swinging big dicks because they had lots of money. So when the coach did badly, they literally called him into the meeting. They went, "Yeah, foot sack," and that was it. That was how sorry meetings used to happen.
They just came in.
Two words: "Yeah, foot sack." Now it's like, ah, oh, Alistair, it's not going so well, but you know, we really are supporting you through this time, this difficult time. And yeah, rugby. Wow. But big week of football, Gareth, because the Champions League is back. So we've been watching some league action recently. We've been watching all the international friendlies, the World Cup qualifiers. But this is the big stuff. Tuesday and Wednesday nights, the Besiktas are taking on Porto at 7 o'clock. So we've got a nice range of fixes tonight. Spartak Moscow versus Maribor at 7. Borussia Dortmund take on Spurs. Now, Spurs just took a hammering to Arsenal, so their confidence is down. And there's speak of a rift between the coach and the players. That'll be at 9:45. See, these games are quite late, but if you love your football, you'll stay up for it. Napoli will take on Shakhtar Donetsk. Sevilla will take on Liverpool. Apul take on Real Madrid. Now, Real Madrid aren't firing at their best. They're really not. They're already 10 points behind Barcelona in La Liga itself. Mm-hmm. Man City, who are just killing everything. Speaking of killing, Pep Guardiola says he'll kill you if you become complacent. See, because he was the big money signing for Man City last year. He came in, he didn't win anything. And he was really embarrassed because that was the whole thing. He was going to be this wonder manager and really give Man City all the return on this massive investments. This year, though, he is just smashing heads and he does not want the let-up to stop at all. So Monaco will then take on Leipzig. You don't really care about that because Monaco are just nowhere. But tonight, also in the Absa Premiership, that is the local league, Cape Town City will be taking on high-flying Baroka FC. Just to give you a recap, because this league, it's like a cat. It goes missing for days on end. And then it comes back and you're like, oh, okay, what's happening? Baroka are currently at the top of the Premier League. They played 10 matches. Golden Arrows, 2 points behind them, also played 10 matches. Cape Town FC, Bloem Celtic, one game in hand on the same points as Golden Arrows in second. So that's how it looks. Kaizer Chiefs in fifth. Orlando Pirates are in seventh. Sundowns are in eighth. And defending champs, second from the bottom. That's Wits in 15th. So let's look at the big fixtures for tonight, where much can happen. As I say, Cape Town City, we're taking on Baroka. Wits versus Sundowns. This is 7:30 tonight. That's the big one. And then Pirates versus Golden Arrows. More action tomorrow as well. But finally, we're going to finish off with Donald Trump.
Oh, now, yeah?
Remember there were some young American basketball players went over to China. And
China.
They did a spot of shoplifting.
Yeah, I heard about this. This is kind of ugly.
Shoplifting is not something you do, Sia.
Not good. I think I've gathered
especially
that
when
in
you're
my 22
in
years.
Another country. But Trump was in the hood at the time.
He was in the hood?
That is no racial reference whatsoever. He was in Asia at the time. So these guys were literally about to go to jail. So Trump met with the Chinese president and said, look, there's some of my American young basketballers, and they've been shoplifting, but please can we just get them off? And he did. He got them off. To which this guy, LeVar Ball, who's father of LeAngelo Ball, has given no thanks whatsoever towards Trump. Basically saying, I didn't care, I would have got him out. But then Trump's going, well, you didn't get him out. And Trump then actually officially tweeted yesterday, now that the three basketball players are out of China and saved from years in jail, LeVar Ball, father of LeAngelo, is unaccepting of what I did for his son and that shoplifting is no big deal. I should have left them in jail.
Oh.
Now, Trump tweets that, and you can just imagine the shitstorm. I'll tweet out something after the show today, which is like a series of clips where LeVar Ball is basically telling CNN that Trump can go screw himself. He doesn't need him. Why didn't Trump bring his kid back on his private jet?
Oh.
Like he's just it's just one of the most cringe interviews. It's too long to play now, but I'll post it on Twitter.
Wow. So he's ungrateful, basically.
Yeah.
His son would have languished in a Chinese prison. God knows how that would have gone.
Yeah, 5 to 10 years minimum on the shoplifting.
But then it is also Trump's job to do this, so I don't know why he deserves special thanks.
Well, I mean, it's just common courtesy. Guy saves you from a jail sentence because you've done something wrong.
No, usually you'd be happy about that, especially if you did. I mean, these guys were shoplifting.
Shoplifting. It's not like they like that they jaywalked
and not poor,
or
and
they took
poor,
a wrong
these
turn.
These are not poor guys. They were like basketball players, and also. You don't shoplift when you're 4 foot taller than everyone else in China. You're going to be conspicuous.
Very good point. Very good point.
Actually, really.
People are going to notice you. All right. Morning, guys. I just want to thank you for increasing my vocabulary. Yesterday, I used the word spurious in a Facebook comment, and I got one like. Lol, Rajesh. All right, Rajesh. Very nice. See, that's, we try to help in little ways. What we do. Let's turn our attention to Sia Sangweni now. Said by Sia. What do you got for us this morning, Sia?
Folks, you know I love me a little musical number.
Yes.
So congratulations to the Stellenbosch University Choir, which has recently topped a global list of over 1,000 choirs.
Wait, we've
name.
Got a theme song for you, especially for this morning.
Okay.
We can use this morning,
with a great
can't
musical
we?
Number.
Yes, of course. Great musical number, especially for you, Sia, and because of the news just recently. Della Reese.
Sigh.
And you can start as soon as they kick into the lyrics.
When you walk,
oh, take it away. Man. So what happened with this choir?
So the Stellenbosch University Choir is one of the oldest and most celebrated choirs in South Africa, and they've made history as the first South African choir to reach over 2 million views on YouTube. The Stellenbosch University Choir was founded back in 1936, and it's an ensemble of approximately 80 to 100 voices, and they've recently won the international acclaim through performances and concert tours and participation in prestigious festivals and competitions. And only a few of the students in the group actually study music. So the choir is one of the most celebrated in South Africa right now. And, you know, being number one on the globe, hey, it's an amazing
thing. That's pretty good.
The announcement was made by Interculture, which is an organization born by the idea of bringing people together from all countries, cultures, and worldviews in peaceful competitions. See, I always believe world peace can be brought through music.
Yeah, I'm joking. It's likelier that way through anything else.
So standing alongside the Stellenbosch University Choir in the top 30, four other South African amazing choirs can be found, including Kersney College and Stellenbosch Girls Choir and the University of Pretoria. So congratulations to them. And if you think, like, why did they exactly get this honor? Well, here's a little clip of the University Choir performing one of my favorite songs. It's by Great Big World and Christina Aguilera. So they're covering Say Something.
Were you in the choir?
I was a choir leader.
I thought as much. Yeah. I thought that's probably going to happen. That's why I had as the leading question, obviously. But here it is. This is them. Thing to get a choir to do that, huh? It's really tough. They must rehearse their backsides off to get there.
Between 80 and 100 people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people too. They take up the whole stage. The whole stage. They're arranged right around the sides as well.
It's amazing. So if you can go onto YouTube as well. They have a channel there. They do more amazing covers from, like, All of Me by John Legend. It's incredible. So congratulations to them.
All right. Excellent stuff. A couple of other emails that I want to get in before we get to the news and all the other stuff that's in the news. Brian says, Brian Ngobo, I couldn't hold my insatiable appetite for your Facebook post. I had to respond to it by sending you this email. I couldn't respond directly because I'll be targeted. The big dogs in this country will not take over because they've showed how corrupt they are. Just a case in point, it's not enough that Duduzane's mother was given two positions in parliament. By the way, Duduzane is not the child of Nkosazana and Jacob Zuma. All right. We all know that they're conjuring up plans of becoming dictators by keeping cozying up to the power, the likes of Mugabe, and utterances by that Mapisa Ngakula woman who said that if the white folks in South Africa can continue toy-toying against farm murders and showing an old flag, they'll be dealt with. People do all sorts of crazy things when there's a march. And they display an old flag. It's an insignificant thing compared to what the march was about. And for that woman, that's obviously Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakula, to end up displaying her hatred towards white people is unacceptable to me. She said nothing about how they can stop farm killings, which is probably inspired by lawlessness brought about by state capture. How dare someone in her position utter those words while this country has no rule of law and we're reeling from criminals who keep being given an upper hand by the people of her like, running amok and terrorizing us because of their state capture monster. That's from Brian Ngobo, who just wanted to vent about some of the things he's got going on in his head. Is this on the phone or on Skype? Skype. Let's go to Skype, see who's on the line. Hey, good morning.
Morning, how are you guys?
Yes, that was loud. Sorry. I thought I'd turned this thing down and it came through like a flood. Yeah, what's your name, man?
It's Ngobile here.
Hey, Ngobile, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's happening, bro?
No, man. I was just thinking, right? Not long ago. So there's an issue that I have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are not being, let's say, discussed head on.
Yeah.
For example, white folks that still believe the apartheid was good, and apartheid is a better system, and that blacks are, you know, garbage, et cetera, et cetera. And black folk that hate other black folk, and these people are more or less two sides of the same coin. And the biggest underlining I've seen between all these groups is that no personal responsibility. Because what I've noticed, what happened like a couple of weeks ago, there's still a lot of people hiding their true feelings, obviously, because they will be lynched. And as you've seen with those women from Facebook saying black people are monkeys and then get lynched. It's those things that I fear that, because we don't want to have this discussion, because it's a very difficult and very bad discussion to have. It's a needed discussion, however. Because there was this YouTube video, I don't know if you've seen it, by some Stephen Molex or whatever. He uses data from, from like the 1950s up until 1994, for example, and then carries on to compare that. Definitely apartheid was good and black people fucked up South Africa. Which then, you know, and then if you look at the comment section, and then after that, I spoke to quite a few white folk. It seems like deep down inside, people agree with that. And that's the problem that I have. And I don't know if you guys have discussed it in length, because I might have missed some of your podcast, but, you know, those kinds of things is what really divides us. And I know right now I'm talking based on white people only, but the same can be said for black folk. And that's where I believe racial divisions stem from. And if we target that, then we'll have, let's say, a better society, so to speak. But due to the fact that we don't discuss these things and we don't look at it deeper and we don't take the responsibility that, look, at the end of the day, we can't blame the apartheid government. We can't blame this. We can only blame ourselves. And that's where it always stems from. Hence, you get groups like, still don't disagree agree with them, EFF and whatnot, and they radical, where black people get radicalized.
You know, I got to be honest, Mobile, I haven't met a lot of people. I haven't met a lot of black people that say shit things about black people behind the scenes or publicly. And I will promise you right now, if you can find me one white person who will publicly stand up for apartheid, you'll be doing well. These people are hard to find. I mean, they do exist. I don't dispute that they exist. But I think they know that they're out in the wilderness, that the rest of us don't agree with them, and that if they voice those opinions publicly, that the rest of us will, at very least, and probably in a civil sense, disapprove. And then there will be people who will try to lynch them. But you see, this is what happens when, and I totally agree with you, like, people are dishonest, right?
Very much. And that's what I've seen is that, look, I know what you mean, but you don't see them publicly.
This is what political correctness does to society, is it makes people lie. Because they can no longer express their opinions honestly, so they lie and they end up getting into even more trouble. Because you can't keep lying. If you really believe, like, certain racist things, then that's how you're going to think. And no one's going to change your mind. You don't have any way to have a conversation with them, right?
You do. And what I've noticed, I'll call it, because it's the most recent thing, the Donald Trump effect, where people, you know, the whole Hillary polling, people are polling Hillary higher, but Donald Trump won. I believe it's the same phenomenon in the South African context when it comes to such subjects. If you look at it closely, no white person would ever publicly agree, unless they already were that public and they already were known for that view, which is very seldom, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But, for example, in my workplace, and like everything in my life, it always begins with a girl. There was this white girl that I wanted, ended up meeting her brother. Mm-hmm. And that's where, let's say, I saw the other side of, there's a lot of people, liberal white people, for example.
Not so liberal when you're banging their sister, right?
Exactly. Like, they always believe equality for everyone, except for don't date my, you know, for example. And the same can be said for black people, whereby the same black folk, in that same mentality, you will be like, oh no, I don't mind a white person this or an Indian person that. But then you say, oh, what if they date your daughter? Faces change. Yeah. So I've noticed that quite a lot. And that's the problem, that people don't want to discuss that.
Yeah,
and we have a lot of kids growing up.
Can I play you something? I want to play you something quickly, yes. And then we've got to get to news. But this is worth listening to. This is from Real Time with Bill Maher. They're occasionally on the money. Chelsea Handler is in this discussion. They're just busy talking about political correctness and what it does to discourse. Listen to this quickly and see if you agree. Stay on the line, all right?
Okay.
Past 20, 25, 30 just years. This is not...
Or 100 years.
Or 200 years. It does not just come out of this moment, is what I'm...
I was going to say...
This is the part I want. Rankin's
accuser, Leanne Tweeden, has forgiven him and said he should... Her opinion is he shouldn't step down. Okay. And I said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the baseball player who made the objective Asian thing with his eyes. He was making fun of a... He was just teasing him, but it was a big thing. I said, you can't... And the baseball player, the Japanese baseball player, said, that's not a big deal to me. I forgive him. And I said, you can't be more offended than the victim.
Right.
If his accuser, and it's only one accuser. Now, if we find out tomorrow it's eight more, and I don't think it will be, but if we do, different story. Right. Mm-hmm. But once she says that, isn't that... Game over. You can't be more offended than the person themselves. I feel like part of the problem we live in is that this is happening in a time when people are just so self-righteous. We have to stop letting five self-righteous millennials at the Huffington Post bully everybody into having opinions that they don't really hold.
You hear that? Bullying everybody into having opinions they don't really hold. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But I'd rather, like I would say, rather, that's why when that whole Penny Sparrow thing broke out last year, I said, let her, I want to know what people really think. I would love us to be honest enough so that we know what we're dealing with, right?
And that's true. And you, if you look at the reasoning and the rationale, you can't really say you're wrong, because the reasons behind and the motives behind the thought and the thought process, you cannot say it's wrong. Black people, majority are in crime.
No, hold on. I mean, we live in a country where eight out of every 10 people are black.
Obviously,
you know, most of the people in prison, most of the people in government, most of the people in employment are going to be black. That's just because of an effect of the population.
I get you, but you can't say the same thing for the United States, for example.
No.
Yes, but what I wanted to say is, when people bring up that kind of argument, I always say, look at Singapore. Singapore is my beautiful...
Careful, you're sounding like Helen Ziller.
No, but no.
This is what she said. This is what got her into shit. Do you remember the DA made her apologize? Exactly what you're about to say.
No. But the thing is, she shouldn't have. And I believe she was just bullied, as you mentioned, to it. What she mentioned did have valid points. And that's the problem, is that people say, oh, you're racist, and they disregard your whole argument, which is not the right way. You have to point that out where they're wrong. And then you say, okay, this is where, therefore, you can come to the conclusion that the whole argument is wrong. But if some of the points or most of the points are correct and some of it is racist, I don't really care, for me personally. I'll actually take that whole argument and decipher it and say, okay, where are they correct and where are they incorrect? Because you can't make that argument all racist. And that's what we're doing. And hence, I say that's why we have divisions. It's because purely of, oh, no, you're making a racist comment. But it is
true.
Well,
it's both sides. It's also, you know, white people who are pretending that they just, you know, like liberal white people who's like, they're running around saying, I just love inclusivity and transgenderism and my best friends are black. And those people are way more annoying than the ones who you know don't like you because you're black or because you're white. Because you could deal with those people. They're at least honest. You could sit down with them and say, look, you know, I know Floyd Shivambu doesn't like white people. That's an obvious thing. You sit down with Floyd, you know what you're dealing with. You can have a conversation with Floyd, right?
True.
Similarly, if I sit down with some old school Afrikaans boer who doesn't like black people because his whole life long he's only known how to treat them like workers, and he sits down and he says to you, you know, this government is a piece of shit. You know what you're dealing with.
Exactly.
I would rather have those two than have someone who's pretending to be all inclusive and caring and kind and so, but actually the only black person in their life is their maid.
And that's true. But at the end of the day, though, we can look at white people that way, but at the same time, we have to look at black folk the same lens and say to them, look, sure, there are these white folk who are doing this and this to you, but what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah, well, and what responsibility are you taking? There we go. You hit the nail on the head with that line, responsibility. Like everybody, white people got to take responsibility for what they did, and black people have to take responsibility for what they're doing. And between us, if we can figure that out, we will avoid junk status and we'll be able to resuscitate this economy.
If all right, only.
But Ngobile, it's you and me. I think we've lost. I think Ben's just fallen asleep. Mubs has just chimed out, and Sia's about to go and take a pee. So let's take a break.
Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. Thanks.
Bye.
There we go. Nice. There's Ngobile, everybody. And since it is time for us to get to a couple of the news stories, we'll come to that in a moment with Mubs. Stick around, cliffcentral.com. Here's a little Shano Sky for you. Just after 8, just after 7 o'clock.
CliffCentral.com.